surreal. Surreal is the best word I could think of when I was talking about this. This private audience with Pope Francis was set up. It was set up months ago, in fact, because we knew that this meeting of the Oblates was going to happen. We've been planning this for years, actually. And so when we knew that we were going to be together, we said, we want to see if we can get some time with Pope Francis. So this was set up before the scandals of the McCarrick scandal was breaking out, before the grand jury report from Pennsylvania, certainly before what Vigano had published came out. We had this time set up where Pope Francis, just coming back from his holidays in August. I don't know if you're aware, inside of Rome, everything practically shuts down for the month of August. I think in part because it's really hot in August in Rome, and it's air conditioning is not as popular. It's not as easy to escape the heat in Rome. And so what happens is people leave. People leave the city and people go to the coast. And it's businesses shut down for a month. People just – and it's just what happens across Rome. The Pope himself oftentimes just gets out of Dodge and goes to – well, at least in the past would go to Castel Gandolfo. I don't know what Pope Francis's own habit has been, but I think he still goes to Castel Gandolfo, which is the summer residence of the Pope where he goes for some time. Of course, Pope Francis happened to be also – at the end of August, at the World Meeting of Families in Dublin, I didn't even mention that in all the things that had happened. That was a interesting experience as well inside the church that was happening there at the end of August. And Pope Francis returned back to Rome from the World Meeting of Families, and we had a meeting with him on August 31st. I was posting on social media about this before I saw him, just thinking what a strange time to meet with the Pope. Surreal was the best word I could think of, because maybe surreal doesn't have so much loaded language or loaded meaning to it. It just felt so strange, so different. And I kept thinking to myself as I was walking to the Vatican what I was going to say to Pope Francis. Now, there were going to be 40 of us meeting with him. So it wasn't a one-on-one meeting. That's probably pretty rare. I don't think most of us ordinary folks get that, mostly just the people that Pope Francis works with regularly. But in my case, it was the representatives from my congregation. We met with Pope Francis. And so we show up to St. Peter's, and we go to this gate. It's a famous gate, and I don't know the name of it. Maybe it's the Bronze Door section. I forget exactly the name of it. It's just, if you're facing St. Peter's, it's just off to the right of the church. In fact, as you go through security, you walk by it, and everybody stops to take a picture of this famous passageway, because there's a Swiss guard there with a spear standing. It's very picturesque. I'm sure if you've been to St. Peter's recently, you've seen this. If you haven't, you've very likely seen a picture of this particular corridor. And what we did, we showed up, the 40 of us at that time, and we were escorted through that very door into the papal apartments. So we walk through this corridor, up through these stairs, into this large courtyard where we're greeted by a couple of Swiss guards, some security members. And then we're escorted up these massive interior staircases that go up a few floors. And we end up in what's called Consistory Hall. This is famous because this is where cardinals become cardinals, right? This is what happens at a consistory. Cardinals are made, are not only named, but are given their commission to be cardinals. But I think this particular room is also famous in our own time, because it's the very room where Pope Francis himself had resigned. And that in itself made it more surreal for me, if you can imagine, to be in this room. And we're awaiting the arrival of Pope Francis. And I'm still wondering, I'm Pope Benedict, thank you. What did I say, Pope Francis? Oh, Pope Francis hasn't resigned, by the way. Pope Benedict resigned. I was getting ahead of myself, I think, because while I was on my way to the Vatican, in response to me sharing that I was going to visit, have this private audience with the Pope, I had a lot of people, both publicly and privately, reach out to me and say, tell him to resign. Tell him to give us the truth, right? Tell him to tell us what's going on. And a lot of people wanted me to use this moment, maybe for activism, maybe to be upfront and maybe even confrontational with Pope Francis, maybe just to use the opportunity that I had. Maybe people didn't mean it as confrontational, but that I just kept coming back to the point that that's not why I was there. I mean, on the one hand, of course, we have to speak the truth, and we need to know the truth, and eventually this is going to come out. Pope Francis said on the airplane that journalists are going to do their job, and this is going to come out. And I hope that access is given to the records and the documents so that we know the truth or not of Vigano's claims, right? Right now, we're going to wait and see what comes out with that. But what I felt like going in there was not so much I need to use this as a moment to tell him my opinion, because I wasn't going there as an individual. I was going there as a representative of my congregation. I don't know if that makes sense, and I don't know if people will agree with me that I should use that time for one purpose or another. But I really felt like here I am going before our Holy Father. If you know me, you know how much respect I have for the Vicar of Christ on earth. You know how important it is for me, how grateful I am to Jesus that he has left to his church a vicar on earth. And even if that particular person in some hypothetical world was a terrible sinner and was out there, you know, not being the person they should be, I would still give due reverence to the office and to the person there. And I knew that that's what I needed to do, but I also knew that I couldn't whitewash the fact that this was going through my mind, if that makes sense. But I also knew I was going to have 4 or 5 seconds with him. So I had no idea what I was going to say. There we are, we're sitting down, and Pope Francis walks in. And our superior general, our newly elected superior general, by the way, a wonderful man from Poland. I hope you'll pray for Father Jan Pelczarski for me and with me, because he has a big job now of leading the Oblates of St. Joseph around the world. And he is from Poland, was a missionary in Nigeria, missionary in Bolivia. Now he's come back to Italy, where he's going to lead up the Oblates from our headquarters there. He gave him some remarks. By the way, I want to entrust to a particular prayer intention for that Pope Francis might inaugurate a year of Saint Joseph, because one of the requests that we gave Pope Francis at this meeting was that he would name a year of Saint Joseph for the church. Saint Joseph, protector of the church, right? Protector of the universal church. This was something so important for us to present. We know many other religious congregations who are doing this as well. Father Don Calloway, whom we met, right, the surfer priest, famous preacher from the Marians of the Immaculate. We saw, just out of coincidence, we ran into him in Frankfurt, myself and my provincial, on our way home from Rome. And we told him, hey, we presented this petition. Remember, you're going to do the same thing, because he was one of the ones that was saying, we all have to do this together. We're hoping that the Pope will name a year of St. Joseph from March 19th, 2020 to March 19th, 2021. Keep that in your prayers if you would. Maybe write a letter to Pope Francis and tell him that you want this. Because if there's anybody we need to turn to right now, in my opinion, in my very humble opinion as an oblate of St. Joseph, it's St. Joseph that we need to turn to. Anyway, Father Jan was sharing, that was one of the things he was sharing with Pope Francis. And then Pope Francis gave us a very nice reflection, some words of encouragement. He talked about our community a little bit, talked about the person of St. Joseph. And then we had this opportunity to go up to him one by one. And as I said, I mean, here's the leader of the Catholic Church. He's got a lot of things to do. He gave us probably about 45 minutes, which when it comes down to the individual meetings, we had just a few seconds each to go up and say hello and to share with him, some thoughts. And I didn't even know at that moment what I was going to say. As I'm walking up, I had a lot of thoughts going through my head, a lot of things saying, well, how should I approach this? What should I say? And I get up to him and I see him and I say, Holy Father, I'm from the United States. And before I could even continue, I saw his face fall. I saw a pained expression. That's all I can interpret it as. He looked saddened, maybe, and I could understand, you know, how the mention of the United States might bring him some, you know, some sorrow at what's going on, be it the scandals, be it his own, you know, needing to face what's happening and the accusations out there. And all he said to me at that moment, all he did was we were speaking in Spanish, and he said, pray for me, if you would, pray for me. And I said, I will, and I do. I pray for you every day. And then I was ushered away, right? That's what we have to do, I guess. And that's what in that moment, I think that's probably what I needed to express, and maybe what God was prompting me to say, that we need to pray for our Holy Father. We need to pray for the church. There's a lot more we need to do besides that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we don't need to call our church leaders to some accountability, but I think I was just realizing how easy it is for me, even in my pain and my suffering and struggling, being upset at what's going on in the church. It's easy, isn't it, to pull out the pitchforks and to want to enact justice as quickly as possible when in fact we need to allow justice to happen on God's time and to do our best to make sure that it is authentic and true justice that happens. So That was my encounter with Pope Francis. We had a little bit of time just to he was ushered off so that he could continue his work that day, and we wandered out and were able to visit St. Peter's and to pray with each other and for each other. And I did remember you, by the way, many times. Many of the different churches that I got to go to, I was praying for lots of different people, and all of the listeners of St. Joseph's Workshop were in that prayer. There were many good things that happened in this last month, and many, many challenging, difficult things that happened in this last month, I know. But we can always, always be together, united in prayer. And I'm so grateful for that part of our faith. I'm so grateful for that aspect of you and I being together, that we're together in this, striving to be holy, striving to call the church to greater holiness, striving to be united on our way to Jesus, right? Okay, so I know those are very brief thoughts. Forgive me, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to these scandals. Don't worry, we're going to process them as best as we can in coming weeks, and I'll be here with you to do that. But coming up next, I want to talk about, change gears a little bit, and talk about some miracles. The miracles that led to the beatification and canonization of Paul VI. Fascinating, fascinating stuff coming up right after this.